you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do. All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ariane, and I'm joined today by Sarah.
Hello.
Our first topic today is going to be about energy drinks in England and how much are consumed by children. Right. So apparently the government is trying to pass a law to not be able to sell energy drinks to children under the age of 16. I think they haven't decided whether it was 16 or 18 yet, but it's definitely one of those two, because a lot of these kids are replacing energy drinks with for their breakfast.
And oh, dear.
Going to school every day. One of the main concerns was that it has an effect on their child obesity rates. So they feel like it increases just because the sugar levels in there and everything like that. So the Russell Viner, he's president of the Royal College of Pediatrics and Child Health out there, just feels like there's no nutritional value whatsoever in energy drinks, and they are just very harmful to children and young people. So
especially if you drink too many. I mean, there's been reported deaths of, you know, that's extreme, but that's if you start the day with an energy drink and then you keep drinking them throughout the day, that can't be good for your blood pressure, your heart rate, any of those things.
And it's crazy because they said that these kids start drinking these energy drinks at the age of six.
Ooh.
These parents are letting these six-year-olds drink an energy drink and then go to school. So I was like, wow, that, imagine what it's doing to their little poor little hearts.
Yeah.
Just speeding them up.
I'm just thinking about when I drink too much caffeine and my heart starts racing.
Yeah.
Or if I drink stronger caffeine than I normally do. That, wow.
Yeah, exactly. And then even just a cup of coffee or two, you can just start feeling the effects.
Mm-hmm.
So, and these energy drinks are said to have like 60 or 65% more calories and sugar, calories, sugar, and caffeine than a cup of coffee.
Wow.
So I was like, wow, why are these people letting their six-year-olds drink this? So, yeah. Oh, and then there was, as soon as this got sent out, I guess they like published it in a paper, but the teachers were all about it because they were going off like, we are sick of watching your hyperactive, high on sugar, caffeine kids. It's just a distraction. And they're just complaining about how hard it is to teach these kids and keep everybody engaged, especially when there's like a handful just bouncing off the walls from these energy drinks.
Right. I can only imagine that they are just hyper and crazy. And then there's got to be a crash.
Oh, yeah.
If they've had that much caffeine and sugar, then they're hyper and crazy for the first part of the day.
Exactly.
And then probably just lethargic and no attention span. Not that they had an attention span earlier, but, but wow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that would have to happen. Like, if they're drinking those around 6-7 o'clock in the morning just to wake up and rush out to school, I would imagine that their crash is somewhere around noon or 1 o'clock. And depending on how much they drink, I mean, that is just crazy. Their their government announced that 2/3 of their children age 10 to 17 and ages 6 to 9 consume, like, 1/4 No, that doesn't sound right. The government said that 2/3 of children aged 10 to 17 and a fourth age, so a quarter, yeah, age 6 to 9 consume energy drinks. So wow. One of out of four, and then two out of every three kids.
I didn't even drink caffeinated soda when I was a kid.
Oh, I didn't even drink. I think the first time I had an energy drink, I was, I want to say, 19 or 20.
I don't think I've ever had an energy drink. I mean, I think I've tasted one, but yeah,
right,
not so much.
The energy drink I drank back then was called Buku, and I don't even think they make it anymore because I've never seen it since.
Was it actually spelled correctly, like French Buku, or was it like?
It was Bookoo.
How did I know that? It's hilarious.
Yep, and I haven't seen him anywhere, and that was probably about 14 years ago.
And how did that make you feel, Ariana?
Oh my gosh, it was crazy. So I was driving from Salt Lake to Sacramento, and I needed to stay up all night, so I bought three of them. Oh. And I was like, I'll drink one every 3 hours.
Oh.
So I did that, but I think I left around 9 p.m., 10 p.m., mountain time, and mm-hmm. then got to Sacramento around 6-7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
And I just felt like I could feel my hand shaking and gripping my steering wheel, and I was just looking everywhere like, where do I go? Where's my exit? Did I pass my exit? Oh no, okay, keep going. Wait, what exit am I supposed to be taking?
Yeah. Wow.
I was like, okay, after that though, I have not touched an energy drink. I don't even drink anything carbonated. Mm-hmm. anymore. So it's been probably over, I want to say, 13 years since I've had anything carbonated. But these energy drinks, I can only imagine what it's doing to these poor little kids. Not just like attention span and the hyperactivity or anything like that, but to the inside of their bodies too.
Right. Crazy. So did the article say, would they then require ID? Like, because the legal drinking age in UK is 18. A little younger if your parents or an adult buy it for you. But right. would it be like, okay, you can buy a beer if you show us ID, or you can buy a energy drink if you show us ID?
I think they would require an ID for if they chose 16 or 18, depending on the age they choose, they would have to show an ID to buy the energy drink.
Wow.
Which that fact is crazy because I think it's 16 years old and they're able to order themselves if a parent is present, an
right.
alcoholic beverage.
Right.
I was like, wait, what? You can do that?
Yes, that's what I was just reading. That young people age 16 or 17 can drink beer, wine, or cider with a meal if it is bought by an adult.
Yeah.
And they are accompanied by an adult.
But they don't want them to drink energy. That's...
Well, yeah.
That's just... I wonder what's the average that some kid would be like, oh yeah, I'd have a glass of wine with that meal out there, though. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I think they have a different understanding or a different relationship to alcohol than maybe we do sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So,
yeah.
What about your kids? Do they ever drink energy drinks?
They don't. My kids don't like them. They don't like the taste. They like soda, but mm-hmm. they drink soda as like a special gift because I haven't drank soda since my son was a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So I just never bought it and put it in the house. So when they do get soda, it's like their, you know, treat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's, oh, we get to have soda today? That's because my sister or my brother-in-law or somebody else is buying it for them because I'm not.
Right. Right.
So, but no, they don't really. Yeah, I think they just think they taste nasty. I think my son tried a Red Bull one time and he was like, this is nasty. I'll just have a Mountain Dew or something like that.
Which is the same. Has its own problems, but you right. know, yeah, still better, I right. think.
Which a crazy story is my one of my little brother's ex-girlfriend gave my son some kind of Monster energy drink
mm-hmm.
when he was like four.
Oh,
I was livid. She was like, he just wanted a taste. He was thirsty. I was like, girl, are you going to stay up with him all night now? Because you can't just give a little four-year-old his tiny little bitty heart
right.
an energy drink.
Oh my gosh. I mean, there's a difference between one sip, which is still not the best idea, but
right.
And letting him drink from
exactly.
you. No.
Exactly. I couldn't deal with that. I went off on her and she probably would never hear this, but I'm sorry. She has a daughter now, so she's probably like, oh man, no energy drinks, no soda. She's a very healthy person right now. She's pretty cool. But I thought it was crazy that they have to actually, because children are consuming them at such a high level or rate that they actually have to implement a law to, you know, stop them from consuming so much.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder if, I mean, this is England. I'm sure people have had this conversation here. I wonder if there's any conversation about limiting or what have you. You know, I haven't heard anything.
Me either. Me either. I don't think I've ever even spoke to a teacher like on parent night or something like that and say, oh, it's a little bit of a distraction because the kids keep drinking energy drinks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think, I had my daughter bring, she likes the brisk iced tea.
Mm-hmm.
And she had one of those that was like the melon flavor. Mm-hmm. And she brought that to school as like a drink for throughout school and maybe at lunch. And her teacher told her she wasn't allowed to bring that because it was unhealthy for kids.
Oh, wow.
I was like, okay, at least they're watching health out here.
Yeah.
It's a good drink. I don't see anything. I mean, it's probably high in sugar. That's probably why.
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, but I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting story, especially to go to, you know, what's it called? Bring it into their obesity levels and, mm-hmm. and yeah. things like that.
Yeah, it's, well, it's so much sugar. I mean, it's crazy how much sugar and sodium, you know, thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't think that like soda or energy drinks would have that much sodium, but they do. When you start reading the ingredients, there's really nothing good in them.
I don't think there is. I wonder sometimes how are they legally able to sell this to anybody?
Right.
I guess that's what you get when you manufacture certain things that people like. They're just like, oh, pay. People will pay for it, so sell it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after that, watch the intake of energy drinks to your kids or taking their people, because sometimes it's not very good. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. If you are just joining us, we just discussed some interesting situations in Europe going on with energy drinks and how much children consume them. They actually have to put in they're inserting a bill, or I don't know what they call that in UK. It wouldn't be a bill, or would it be
it might be. I'm just trying to remember. College was a long time ago when we talked about the process, the governmental process. And so I don't know.
So
I used to know.
They actually had to do that. We're going to go ahead and move on to our next topic, which is the benefits of strong family communication for children and how it best helps them. So the article I was reading was actually saying that practicing effective communication actually encourages children to openly discuss their needs and wants.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes them feel like their feelings and thoughts matter. I never really thought about that when I talk to my kids, because I'm just like, you're going to listen to what I had to say and just do it. Not, do you have feelings about that?
Okay.
Because their feelings obviously show on their face. They're like, we don't want to do that. But right. They would never tell me that.
Right.
They would now. But I could understand that that is a positive effect on communication for children. They mm-hmm. want to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's in grad school, we talked a lot about things like families of origin, which is just the family that you're born into and you grow up with, and uh-huh. the communication styles. And a lot of people have families that don't communicate well, you know,
right.
They have parents that don't talk about things, or they have parents who just scream about things, or what have you. You know,
right.
There's all kinds of different communication things, and that will affect how you grow up and how you then communicate as an adult with not only, you know, who you marry or who you live with or whatever, but friends and coworkers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. That was the next point they had, was that when children communicate about issues effectively, they're more likely to work through problems mm-hmm. and find better solutions. And I found that effective with my kids, when, especially when they're doing their homework. With my daughter, I'll have her read her math problems out loud
mm-hmm.
or her spelling in English out loud. Like, it'll be choose the best word for this sentence, and they'll get an option of 6 words. And mm-hmm. I'll be like, okay, we'll read the sentence and fill it in with each word. Say it out loud so you can hear how it sounds and if it fits with the sentence or if it sounds like it's supposed to fit in that sentence. So I could totally understand that.
Right.
Because when they don't, I've seen my nephew try that, and he's like, how about that word? And then he's just guessing. And I'm like, well, read it out loud and see if that fits in there. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, it doesn't. Exactly. So
right.
I really like that.
Yeah. Well, and just being able to, encouraging them to share their feelings in a safe environment like that, I think is really helpful, because you want your kids, I would assume, you would want your kids to be able to feel like they can come to you and tell you things that might not be so easy.
Of course.
If you've fostered that throughout their life, then this is slightly off topic, but I remember reading an article about Sesame Street. And when I was growing up, Snuffleupagus was, nobody ever saw him but Big Bird.
Right.
All the adults thought that Big Bird had an imaginary friend.
Uh-huh.
There was always something that happened so that when the adults came, Snuffy had just left.
Disappeared.
And
he was a big animal to, get rid
of. Yes. But they had concerns. I don't know who brought up the concerns that because the adults didn't believe Big Bird, they were afraid that children would see that and think adults wouldn't believe them
right.
if they tried to tell them about something.
If they had an imaginary friend.
Or something that they're seeing that, okay, I see Snuffy, Big Bird sees, sees him, but the adults don't, and they don't believe. So why should I trust adults? And they did this whole thing, and they changed it so that Snuffy, and they were worried about, sexual misconduct and those types of things, and reporting and not being believed. There was this whole huge article on it. It was really fascinating how they changed that in order to encourage children to communicate with the adults and trust the adults in their lives.
Yeah, I think that's awesome that they even recognized that, because they could have just played it off and been like, oh no, it's his imaginary friend and it's just a game.
Right.
And a lot of things like that, when kids approach you with certain situations, it's not a game to them.
Right.
You know, which was one of the points there too, is that when, you know, kids feel recognized in their communication and, you know, their feelings and thoughts, it is a whole lot easier for them, or it's more likely for them to talk to an adult about more, you know, severe, I wouldn't really say severe, but more, what's the word?
Maybe just like difficult
topics. Exactly. Especially as they grow, of course, you have to have like the birds and the bees talk, and you don't want it to be like super awkward, because I never had that talk. Nobody ever had that talk with me, but I definitely, my kids are really open to when it comes to things like that, because I do talk to them about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And my son tells me everything.
Yeah. So I had it was awkward. My sister, who's 6.5 years older, was there.
Oh.
Which was actually fine, but it was still like, oh, really? This is happening now?
Right. It was interesting having that talk with my son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't mind really having that talk with my daughter, but for him, it was pretty cool, because he kind of just was like, oh yeah, this is normal. And that's kind of how I wanted it to be, for him to just not feel weirded out about, oh, my mom's talking to me about boy stuff. Like,
right.
What's going on? You know, he was just like, oh, okay. So now he has no problem coming up to me and saying, mom, what about this? Or what if this happens? And I'm like, oh, okay. So, this is this, or this is that. And we just kind of like nonchalantly talk about it. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's everyday conversation.
Well, and kids take their cues from parents. So if parents have a conversation and they are clearly uncomfortable,
right.
which a lot of people are mm-hmm. when it comes to not only the birds and the bees,
right.
but even emotions. If you grew up in a house that didn't talk about feelings,
exactly.
then your kids pick up that, oh, this is, mom and dad are uncomfortable. I should be uncomfortable too.
Exactly.
Or maybe this is a bad topic.
Right. And yeah, and even drugs and alcohol, simple stuff like that. Well, I say simple because it's simple to me, but it could be a little bit more difficult for other families, but it's definitely, I thought it was really good. I wanted to see a study. They didn't really do a study. They were kind of just throwing out numbers as far as, because it wasn't, it was only a few families that they kind of talked to and how they interacted with their kids. So I wouldn't really say it was like a full on study, but I would, that most of them were like, oh yeah, no, we don't talk about that stuff. We don't talk about stuff. And I was like, that is so crazy, because I remember growing up, we didn't talk about, in the household I was in, we didn't really talk about difficult situations or the things that I feel like teenagers specifically should know. And not just like, you know, birds and bees, but even like finance.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because I never knew how to like balance a checkbook or even what my credit, what credit meant until I was already in my 20s. And my mom was just like, oh, well, you know, why do we need to talk about that? That's so, you know, finances? No.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. It's a kind of a catch-22, because people, a lot of people nowadays expect a lot of things to be taught in public school. Like,
right.
But public schools don't have time to be teaching everything that you can be teaching at home. But then when things are taught in public school, then people are upset because of the way it's being taught. Right. For instance, sex ed, you know, everybody has, well, okay, you either have to do it at home or you have to trust the public education system to teach it. It's just, it's a catch-22.
Right. Well, and then that's one thing that I never really understood either, is the parents getting mad about how something's being taught in school, but then they're not teaching them themselves then how they would like it to be taught.
Right.
So I was then you don't get to have a say then.
Even if it's a conversation of, tell me what you learned in this. Okay, so here's a different perspective.
Right.
And you don't even have to approach it as, oh my gosh, that's wrong. You know, you can say, here's a different perspective, and what do you think about this? And we believe it to be this way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And one more thing that I thought was cool as far as the little, you know, thing that they did was how they were saying 93% of communication is nonverbal.
Mm-hmm.
And for kids to communicate effectively, like if you talk to them and let them know that, you know, I understand how you feel, or, you know, your perspective on this, their nonverbal skills enhance also, so they can communicate better with like future relationships, like bosses, boyfriends, girlfriends, spouses, what have you, and out in just the general public. So I was like, that's pretty cool too, because not a lot of communication is verbal.
Right.
It's all, you know, body language, eye contact, hand gestures, you know, things like that. Facial expressions will tell a lot about how the conversation is going.
Yep. Which is why it's so hard to tell anything from an email or a text, because there's no inflection. There's no body language. There's nothing. You can read it 16 ways to Sunday.
Black and white. And it's like, did I read that wrong?
Yeah.
Until somebody was like, oh, no, I meant it like this. And you were like, yeah, see, I took it like this.
Yes.
So I thought that was really interesting. I'm kind of glad that I raised my kids in a way that, you know, they're able to come talk to me. They feel comfortable enough to come talk to me about anything.
Mm-hmm.
When I know families or friends who their kids will, when I say, well, why don't you go talk to your parents about that? They just look at me like, why would I do that?
Yeah.
That's why I'm coming to talk to you.
Yeah. Well, at least they have you. But
yeah.
Still, wow.
So anyway, we're going to go ahead and take one more quick break, and we'll be back shortly.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. If you're just joining us, we just got done talking about kids, energy drinks, and communication. We're going to jump into our next topic here. And this one's going to be about the dad bod. I don't know if you guys have heard that term before, but
yes.
It used to be a trending thing. I don't know if it still is. If I see a guy and he has the dad bod, I would be like, oh, yeah. He's like the dad bod guy.
Right.
So just to break it down, what a dad bod is basically the most average body a male can obtain.
Right. We're not talking about, you know, romance cover models with six pack abs and biceps and just, you know, your dad.
Yeah, average, meaning you're not too fat, you're not super fit, you're just kind of there in
between.
You're
just kind of squishy.
Right, exactly. You enjoy having a beer or five after work, and you eat a lot of ramen noodles for dinner. So, yes. You know, that's, you know, basically where we're at on the dad bod. But the reason why I'm talking about this is because apparently there's a health concern with the dad bod and the whole trend behind it, because they think that even though it's a trend and it kind of like uplifts some of, you know, some men out there, their, you know, self-esteem or whatever, just because it's, you know, the thing that's in right now.
Mm-hmm.
The health concern is that it's it can lead to obesity.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what secondary hypertension is, but it said obesity, secondary hypertension, and diabetes.
Okay. Which, I mean, it makes sense, because one thing that they warn about is belly fat that can lead to a lot of those things, especially obesity and diabetes, you have to watch. And the dad bod kind of is that sort of like little bit of a paunch, you know, and so fat, I know that fat around your belly can be concerning with health.
Yeah, so that was the concern there, especially with it being a trend and just men getting complacent, and they're like, oh, well, I look good and this is what's in, and why do I need to exercise for? Because anybody's going to find me sexy right now. So,
and we could have a whole different topic about the sexist nature of this conversation,
yes.
Because, you know, men tend to be more visual than women. Women are like, yeah, you're fine. I don't care.
Right.
You got a comfy dad bod. Whereas women are like, you're fat.
Exactly.
I mean, men are like, and it's not that simple, but
really not.
The mom bod is not trending as sexy.
Well, gosh, if somebody said that it would, I feel like I would be okay. I'd be okay with that. Don't have to exercise? Cool.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, so I understand what they mean on that, because I feel like, us ladies, we want our men there, you know, for a longer time in the future with us. And if you have the dad bod and get complacent, you're just going to die off earlier.
And if you are a dad, your kids want you around.
Exactly. Be healthy. You know, stick around for your kids, your wife. You know, we enjoy the company when it's convenient for us. I'm just kidding.
But yeah, and you might have to cut back from that five beers and only drink one.
Right.
But still, it's your health.
Exactly. Have a glass of wine with the wife. But if you're not a dad or you don't have a wife, you know, maybe you just want to feel better about yourself and get some workouts in there, because, you know, that looks good to everybody else, too. You know, to each his own.
Well, even if you don't have a wife or kids, you still have people who love you and you want to be around for
them.
There
you go.
So, yeah.
There you go. Another topic about dads is there was a study I read that who gives more junk food to kids, and I feel like this was obvious. It was obviously the dads.
Not my dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Neither mine. Mine didn't either. I'm sorry. That came. I was
okay.
Like, mine either. Blah, blah, blah.
I knew where you were going.
Well, the study was done with 44 families. There had to be at least one teenager in that family. And they had to, consider the family's eating habits and whether they changed depending on which parent was in charge. So it said 93% of the cases that they asked the kids and mom, they all said that dad's food quality standards were the lowest.
Oh, wow.
So wow. They were like, one kid said, what did he say? If I wanted chips or cookies, I'll just go straight to dad and ask him because I know he'll say yes.
Now, when I was growing up, my mom's more of a night owl, not a morning person. And my dad was a teacher, so he would take us to school.
Okay.
And so he would get up with us, and which meant he made us breakfast. Okay. And we rarely, if ever, got cold cereal. Cold cereal was a weekend treat, and it was never sugared. I mean, I was excited about shredded wheat as a kid.
Oh, wow.
So he would make hot cereal for breakfast every morning. My dad was not the, it's more convenient to just dump a bowl of cereal. Right. No.
I like your dad.
He's pretty awesome.
That's awesome. No, ours was cereal. Get a bowl of cereal every day. Except my dad, when we were, you know, playing as kids and we wanted cookies, we would have to be very specific. And it was always, hey, Dad, can I have two cookies? And he wouldn't give us more than that. If we asked for three, it was a no. If we asked for one, he would be like, well, what's the point? Just grab two. And then we'd be like, okay. So we just learned to be like, hey, Dad, can I have two cookies?
Well, at least he was limiting your sugar intake.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So I thought that was interesting. There was an interesting sentence in there or topic where the dad was like, well, moms are, you know, it's more in their nature to be more concerned and health wise about their kids. And they just have a better relationship with the kitchen than dads do. And I was like, that's not fair.
That's not
I know a
fair.
Lot of guys who could cook.
And also that's just making it into that. Okay. Mom, the woman does all the parenting things. Whereas the dad, like that phrase, you know, oh, are you babysitting your kids? They're your kids.
Right.
You're not babysitting. You're parenting. Yeah.
Babysitting. And then when they get mad, it's like, go get your kids. It's like, I didn't make these kids by myself.
Right.
What is wrong with you? I do that as a joke, though. I'd be like, your son needs you.
Well, right. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just thought that was a little fun thing because I know that I try to feed my kids a little bit healthy. If they want, I don't really mind being like, yeah, go get some cookies. Let's have some, you know, cake for dinner. If it's like a weekend or a spring break or something
well,
like that.
You have to teach them to have, we can have such an unhealthy relationship with food where it's like reward and punishment.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas we, instead of just kind of eating, not going crazy with the junk food, but including it in your diet sometimes.
Right.
Instead of feeling like you're cheating or doing something wrong.
Exactly. A nice balance.
Yes.
Balanced meals, balanced breakfast, balanced lunch, dinners. Dads apparently don't know what that means.
That's why they have dad bods.
Right. Exactly. Well, that is our show for today. Oh, I was going to bring up one more topic just to let everybody know that October 2nd, today is Name Your Car Day. Did
nice.
You know that?
I did not know that. Well, no, I did know that, but I didn't know it till this morning when I saw it.
Do you name your car?
I used to. I used to have a car named Hermione.
I like that. Like Hermione.
What's not to like?
Right? She's just all the above.
What about you? Does your car have a name?
It didn't until today.
Oh.
So my car is a female. I've dubbed her a woman. And so I always talk to her nicely unless she's doing some weird stuff. So I feel like she's bipolar because I'll be randomly driving and my check engine light will come on. And then only for like 5 minutes and then it will decide to shut off for 3 weeks. And then I'll be driving and it'll be like, oh yeah, your check engine light is on. And then it just shuts off. I'm like, is there really a problem or not? Because you're not trying to stay on. So I asked my sister today, I was like, so what is a stereotypical name for the most bipolar old woman-ish kind of name? Give me a name. And she said, Susan. So I have named my car Susan.
We apologize to everyone named
Susan.
We're not judging you.
No, I'm sure you're not bipolar. And that is probably the worst stereotypical, you know, bipolar old lady name ever. I'm sorry. But to be fair, now you get to drive with me, Susan. And you guys get me everywhere I need to go. And I appreciate it very much.
Just stop turning on the check engine light randomly.
Exactly. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. And please join us next time for more health and wellness brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.